ways guides me.
Your ways guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
Restores my soul.
Restores my soul.
Together. See, your spirit,
lives within.
So I will walk in your peace.
So I will walk in
your spirit.
Your spirit lives within me.
So my victory.
My victory.
My victory.
My victory.
Your spirit.
Your spirit lives within me.
So
I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit.
Your spirit lives within me.
My victory.
My victory.
Your spirit lives within me,
so I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit lives within me,
my victory,
my victory.
Your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit lives within me,
my victory,
my victory.
Your spirit lives within me,
so I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit lives within me,
my victory,
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 my victory.
Seated. Praise God. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you this morning. If you're a guest online, welcome as well. If you're here in the auditorium, we want to encourage you to If you don't already have one of these connection cards, feel free to ask an usher at some point for one. A couple points of information. If you are willing to share with us, we'd like to show you our appreciation. There is a small gift for you at the kiosk. If you would turn that in there online, you can do the same with the bit.ly link that's there on the screen. And we want to just show our appreciation to you. We're glad that you're with us. We love God. We love the Word of God. We love the presence of God. And we know that it's the best thing that we can give to anybody. In Jesus' name. Amen. Giving options, if you are able to give, you can give in the offering box that's out on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can mail it through snail mail or go to our website and give there on the website. Or you can go to the church app, Church Center app, and give there. Follow the instructions as you work your way through the prompts. Amen. A couple of announcements. This Friday, May 6th, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. Amen. Then next Sunday is May 8th, and it is Mother's Day service. We'll be honoring the mothers, so invite your mother, invite your aunt, whoever it is you know that's a mother, bring them to our Mother's Day service. We want to honor them with some time here in the service. We'll have some gifts. Looking forward to it. It's always a fun service, and it's a blessing to everyone there. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due, and certainly our mothers deserve honor. Amen. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, Voces Unidas is having Dia de los Niños, the day of Children's Day, a special service. Every year this service is held, this celebration for children, and it's a great service. There's always a lot of guests. They have fun and games afterwards in the fellowship hall, and food as well. So if you have time and the inclination this afternoon, I would encourage you to join in Voces Unidas. The service is bilingual, Spanish and English, and so you might even pick up a few words in Spanish if you don't already know it. So keep that in mind this afternoon. I'd like to ask everyone to stand at this time for prayer, if you're able to stand. Please remember Pastor Roy and Sister Lois. They've been preaching out east. They'll be on their way back, and we want to keep them in prayer. God's anointing will be on them and protection as they travel. There are a number of brothers and sisters here in our auditorium who are struggling with serious illness. If you're nearby them and they feel comfortable, you feel comfortable, you might want to just pray with them, place your hand on them. If you do have a need, you could identify that by raising your hand at this time. Please remember Pastor Thomas of the Stoughton Church. Brother Caskey is down in Stoughton this morning preaching for Brother Thomas because he has the dreaded COVID. So pray for Brother Thomas as well. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your constancy, Lord. You're always with us. We know, God, that you are in this place this morning, not only because we feel your presence, but because you have promised that when we get together, you'll be with us, and your word is true. We ask, oh God, for your blessing and anointing upon Pastor Roy and Sister Lois Grant, and you would keep them safe as they travel. Touch Bishop Grant, oh God, and strengthen and heal him, oh God, as he struggles, as he recovers from his time in the hospital. We pray, oh God, for these brothers and sisters here that are battling cancer in our midst, oh God. We want to see a miracle, God. We believe you're a miracle-working God, and we ask again for miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, oh God, for Brother Thomas, for healing from COVID-19, oh God, and for your blessing upon Brother Caskey as he ministers to the Stoughton Church. Lord, we ask, oh God, for your anointing upon Brother Ben Smith this morning as he brings us the word. Quicken in him, Lord God, an anointing, and give him great liberty so that he may speak to our hearts according to your will and according to our needs. You are able to do all of this, oh God, and we trust that you will, and we give you praise and glory for it, and thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. Praise God.
is not a mountain too tall. There's not a problem so small that Jesus can't resolve. In time he'll get involved. Our God, he cares about us. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he'll renew your strength.
I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm not. Inside. house and those watching online. Let there be a shout of praise, a voice of triumph that's lifted up. Jesus is in the house. He's moving in your place, online, wherever you're at. Come on, if it's your first time in the house or first time watching, what you're experiencing, that is the presence and power of God. It's drawing you right now. Just respond to that. Don't worry, you're not going to bother me in this house if you continue to intercede and worship Jesus, because that's what it's all about. We're here to bring Him glory. You're not here to listen to me. We're here to lift up Jesus. Amen? And I'm glad to be a part of His glorious kingdom. What an awesome God we serve. Come on, it's moving still. I'm going to speak in a few minutes, but don't shut down what God wants to do. Whatever you have need, if He's here to touch you today, whether it be healing, deliverance, freedom, victory, life, liberty. Yes. Come on, that's it. Just respond to it. Just respond to it. He's drawing you today. The Bible says no man can come unless he first draw. You're not here by accident. You're not here by mistake. You're not here by happenstance. You may have thought you just wandered in or you just clicked on a link, but God ordered and orchestrated your steps for such a time as this, for purpose, for authority, and for victory. Because Jesus loves us. He gave His very life that we can have freedom and be set free. Amen. God is so awesome. Oh, He's so awesome. I want to thank Pastor Seidel for the awesome job he did in the Bible lesson, speaking about Joseph. Now, amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, obviously, if you're following along in the devotions, we knew what Pastor Seidel was going to talk about. It was going to be about Joseph. But I didn't connect that he was going to be the one speaking today or I was going to be the one speaking. And I didn't put all the notes together. But he did a perfect lead up or foundation for what God gave me to speak to you this morning. This morning, I'm going to be speaking to you about seeing the value of our brother. And I think the praise and worship team did such an awesome job in leading us to the throne of God. You know, we started our first session singing about joy and the joy that God's given. We went in talking about waiting on God. And we talked about Psalms 23, we are not alone. And we finished up by talking about the throne room. Because, see, the Bible talks about entering His gates and into His courts with what? With praise and with thanksgiving. And when we lift ourselves and open ourselves up in worship, God steps in. Because I'm not here today to see what I can get, but I'm here to give to Jesus. To give my heart, my life, my mind. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. And although for some of us it may be hard yet to acknowledge that, we've all been bought with a price, a great price of His blood on Calvary for our salvation and our freedom. This morning, I'm going to talk for a minute. I know normally we open with the scripture, we pray, and we go, I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes. I want to lay a word picture, if you will, okay? I believe you love God. That's why you're here in the building. That's why you're watching online. I know you love God. I love God too. But I want to ask you a very stirring question. And I put myself under the authority of our leadership. So if I say anything out of line, Pastor, you come, you take the mic, you set me down, I'm good. I'm not offended. That's important. And I say that because they wouldn't probably let me up here if they didn't trust me. So they all ought to ultimately trust me. But I want you to know that I'm a man with authority. But I'm under authority. And it's me being under authority which gives me greater authority. And we are all under the authority of Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you this question. What kind of church do you want to be? What kind of person? We have an awesome church here. And I love being a part of CGC. But I want to ask you what part. We're all part of the bride of Christ. All part of the church. What kind of church do you want to be? Do you want to be a word church? Or a glory church? And both of them sound good, right? Oh, I want the word. I love the word. I believe in the word. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word's important. But also understand that the letter killeth. And we can be so focused on the word that we miss the actual power of the word. And I believe the word. I love the word. I make a point to do my best to read the word every day. But understand, I can't just live saying, I got the word. I got the word. I'm good. No, there's a glory that I want to live in. Because understand what we are. Renewed, we are made alive by His Spirit, by His power. And sometimes we mistake glory with presence. Glory and presence are two different things. But let me give you another analogy. Many of us have read the story of Jacob's ladder and you know, angels ascending and descending up to heaven. But it instead of a vertical ladder, it's more like a stairs. And understand, God draws us. We come in from a world of sin, and God draws us. We come to the front, if we will call it an altar, and it may not be in the front of a church. It may be in your living room. It may be in your car somewhere. God draws you to an altar. But I want you to understand there's a pulling of God's presence from glory to glory. So we'll be here. This is where we're dwelling, and God will give us a glimpse of what's up here. What's at the next level? What's at the next step? And we get that glimpse, and then we kind of go back to where we're at. And God pulled us up to show us a glimpse, but then it's up to me. You know what? I want to go on the next level. And then we're there for a while. We're dwelling, and God pulls us up to the next level for a little bit and shows us a glimpse of that glory, and then we go back to where we were. And it's up to me to say, you know what? I want to go to the next level. And then we dwell there for a while. And then God will show us a glimpse of the next level. And then we go back to where we were. And that's why sometimes we get frustrated with the journey, because it's not a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And it's continuing in season and out of season. And then I say, you know what, God, I so value what you showed me up here. I'm going to fight my way back up there. Not to make me something, but because I just want to be close to you. I want to be near you. And so that's why I ask you this morning, do you just want to be a word church? Or do you want to be a glory church? Where we get into His presence. Because see, in His presence there is fullness of joy. See, when I can get into His presence and then draw His glory down, it's different, mind you. I enter into his gates and into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. I get into His presence, but then as I worship Him, as I praise Him, as I honor Him, as I lift Him up from a pure heart, not to be honored, not to be exalted, but because I love Him, it draws His glory down. I'm already in His presence. Wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst. I'm already in His presence, but it opens my eyes to another world, to the glory of Almighty God. You understand what kind of picture I'm trying to lay for us this morning? Amen. So this morning I want to talk to us about seeing the value of our brother. Because understand, I we can all be present if we so choose. But only us working together, whether two or three agreeing together, touching any one thing, it shall be done. Only us being together in unity, in focus, in one mind, in one accord, desiring the glory of God. Only that can make us truly what God wants us to be. Because understand, God's not going to force us to be what He desires us to be and go into. But He's going to lead us. Like a shepherd. Understand, you can't drive sheep. You lead sheep. And they're still going to make mistakes. Still going to fall over. They're still going to need help. They're still going to get stuck. They're still going to need to be trimmed. And the shepherd comes and helps the sheep. So we are like sheep. And God leads us. But understand, you can't lead a sheep if they don't want to go. You can sit there and try and push and do everything you want to do and pull. And if a sheep doesn't want to move, they're not going to move. And if you don't want to move from where you feel comfortable, God's not going to force you to move. But unfortunately, He may move beyond where you're at to try and get you where He wants you to come. And what I say by that is he asked the first century church to go everywhere, to make disciples, to preach the gospel. And they had a good thing going in Jerusalem. Pastor Seidel, hey, we got a good church here. We got an established church. We got awesome people. And why go to places that are uncomfortable? We already got what we need here. And God didn't force them to move, but He did allow persecution to come in. And Paul stirred up the church and did a lot of horrible things. And then Paul, you know, when he touched the church, it's going to affect you one way or another. Paul touched a church and it affected him. And he had the experience on the road to Damascus. And then he went from a persecutor of the church to a preacher of truth and of the gospel for the church. But with that being said, God's calling each and every one of you in these last days to do something for the kingdom. You may not have the same thing to do that I'm called, or Pastor Seidel, or anyone here, but you have a calling. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. And I want to thank Pastor and the leadership team and Pastor Jerry for entrusting us with a vision to go to Janesville and start a church. And not only that, I want to thank the leadership team for sending us with a team. Because I'll tell you what, starting a church isn't an easy job. And I'm not here to get pity or make you feel bad. But I'll tell you what, it's still not easy, but it's a lot easier of a job when you have a team than when you go by yourself. And I thank God every day for the brother and sister Caskey and brother and sister Millen and the team that Calvary is sent to Janesville. If you have your Bibles, I didn't forget, I'm going to read a text. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. I understand, I can't just love you when you're doing what I want you to do. I can't just love you when it's convenient. But cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and curse not. Understand these, we read through this and you know, we just kind of see how fast we can read, but there's a lot of powerful statements here. A lot of powerful statements. And mind you, it's penned under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but it's penned from a persecutor of the church. Someone that persecuted, that put families into prison, that broke them apart, is now saying, hey, guess what? Bless them which persecute you, and curse not. I want you to wrap your mind around what Paul was. I believe Jesus was the inspiration and the authority of the Word of God. It was penned by the Holy Ghost, and as God moved upon men of old, they wrote. But understand, God still gave the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and God still gave the liberty of the interpretation to the writer. Although he gave them the thought and intent, he still gave them a little bit of liberty to express that from their own experiences. And here Paul is talking about, bless them that persecute you and curse not. How many families did Paul persecute? How many people did he rip apart? How many lives did he destroy? How many people did he just turn their world upside down? Threw them into prison, tortured them. How many marriages were not, I'm not going to say ruined from internal strife, but just under stress and tension from that persecution that was brought upon their family and their marriage. Wives that had to see their husbands imprisoned and tortured. Husbands that had to see their wives in prison. Great persecution. But he's saying, bless them. It's not always easy, but it's vital. Over a third of the New Testament was penned by this persecutor of the gospel of the church. But God used him because someone blessed him. Understand, we can argue this, and I'm not here to cross swords with you or argue, but I really believe it was the stoning of Stephen that was a turning point. Now, I know it was Jesus that struck down Paul on the road to Damascus. I'm not here to argue that, but I really believe it was the stoning of Stephen that was a turning point in Paul's life, because although he wasn't throwing the stones, he was holding the coats for all the men that were there throwing stones. And he saw Stephen's countenance, as it were, glowing. Because he said, God, forgive them. Lay not this charge upon them. Come on, be honest with me. Be real this morning. I understand we live in a guarded and a shrouded society where everyone's okay. The truth is, our world is not okay. There's hurting people all around us, outside these doors and inside this building. And I am my brother's keeper. That doesn't mean I'm here to get in your business and say, hey, tell me what's going on, and so I can share with the next people. God doesn't like busybodies. But I'm here, hey, can I pray for you? Can I lift you up? You know, I may not have a lot, but if you're struggling for a meal, maybe I can make you a meal. Maybe I can bless you. Maybe you need some clothes. I don't know what it is, but maybe I can help in some way, shape, or form. Come on, folks. That's the day we're living in. The church needs to be the church. And the only way we're going to do that is get a hunger for the glory of God, to see the value of one another, to reach out in love and say, hey, you know what? We can do this together because two are better than one. Amen. Continuing on here. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one with another, one towards another. Mind not high things. It's not about what I can achieve or what heights I can reach. It's not about me being high and lifted up. But I'm going to focus on the lowly. I'm going to focus on those that are in need. To men of low esteem, be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing that, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome, hear me now, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We live in a world that's been overcome by evil. I'm not here to be doom and gloom and woe is me, because this is an awesome day to be alive. This is the greatest day of the church to be alive. We are living in the last days. Greater signs are going to happen today than ever preceded before the church. We are seeing a greater outpouring of God today than has ever been seen in the church. So it's not doom and gloom and woe is me and pack up the ship and let's all hide and pray that we get out of here. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about. But understand, we live in a world that is overcome by evil. They don't see hope. They don't live by a moral compass like societies and generations gone before. Absolutes of right and wrong have been blurred by political correctness and not offending and let's all get along. The society has blurred the lines of what is acceptably normal because, you know, hey, you do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do and we all want to be unique and different. And amen, somebody. And I know I'm treading on thin ice here, but you know what? It's okay. I've had the prayer of my elders and I feel good. Because understand, we cannot overcome or be overcome by the evils of this world, but we have to overcome the evils of this world by saying, you know what? Even when I've been wrong, Pastor did an awesome job teaching about the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit and working together and, you know, sticks and stones. If you haven't heard that series, go back online. You need to listen to it. It's an awesome series by Pastor about sticks and stones. Offenses are going to come. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of when. They're coming. And so I have to go from a place of being offended to how can I overcome that evil, that offense with good? How can I bless them that have persecuted me? How can I pray? How can I turn the other cheek? I understand this is not a light message. This is not a get up and run the aisles kind of shouting, but I'm going to shout anyway. Because bless God, there is victory in this. Someone, whether I feel it in the spirit, whether you came in the building here or you're watching online, you're saying, God, I need to get victory over this challenge in my life. God doesn't want you to live in that turmoil anymore. And what he gave me this morning is how we can have victory, how we can live in the true authority and God-given purpose that he has prepared for us. I'm gonna overcome evil with good. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. It's not what I want to be, but Father, it's what you want to be. Not my will, but thine be done. You want to see your world changed? Be a godly example when you're persecuted. Oh, they may not realize everything, your background, but I'll tell you what, they're always watching. I can't tell you how many stories I've seen the difference. And can I just, and this is not about me, so please understand that. I'm just using myself as an example because I got the story and I won't be offended if I talk about myself. You know, I recently had a promotion and transferred from one location at work to another location. And that was exciting and it's good and I'm thank God for it. But here, I said all that just to say this. The previous location, this is not saying anything bad about them. But the previous location, that's why I'm not mentioning any place of where it was. And it's between God and God and the door. I'm not saying. But I watched because I still have interaction with that previous location. And I watched how, you know, I was there 40 plus hours a week or more. I was there praying when I was doing my job. I was being a godly example in life. And I may not always seen the impact or the difference, but just being a light. We are a candle that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are that salt and light in the world. And I, Pastor Seidel, I'll be really transparent. I didn't think I was making much of an impact. I can't tell you that I prayed 10 people through on the job and saw them all just, you know, get on fire for Jesus. I'd like to. And it's coming one day, but it didn't happen yet. But I'll tell you what, when everything seemed to work smoothly, seemed to all work out. But I transitioned from that location to another location. And I saw is how both myself and my wife, as we left that location, or transferred, if you will, to another area, I saw how the whole countenance, the whole atmosphere of that previous location changed. Because see, you may not realize the value and the impact that you bring into your community every day, and into your job and your workplace. But only sometimes your distance or your separation from that environment will let you really see what kind of impact you're making. And as both my wife Victoria and I had transferred out of that location to work in different locations, I saw the atmosphere change. Your prayers make a difference. Your presence, just being present, being a light, being a witness every day on your job, it makes a difference that only heaven can tell the impact of. We don't comprehend or grasp it all. So I'm saying that to say this, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. Not you might, not you could, but ye shall reap if, oh, that two-letter word, if ye faint not. Obviously, if you're going to faint, there had to be some persecution. Pastor Seidel, there had to be some pressing. There had to be some weariness. There had to be some trying. I'm not saying the trying is easy. But if you'll fight through it, if you'll give God the glory, if you'll lift up your hand and say, you know what? It so touched my soul as I watched the kids and members of the congregation come up here and worship. I was ready just to come off the platform and just run up and down the altar because there was such a powerful presence of God. But understand, you may be sitting in the pew somewhere, and you know I don't got my glasses on, so I'm not honing in on anyone. I'm just shooting a load of buckshot out there, and it's going to hit somebody in need. It may be you online. I don't know. And in case you don't wonder, I do have glasses. See, I have them in here. I just don't put them on. They're only when I'm really tired, when I want to see, you know, really far. And you can use whatever term fits for you. You can say golf if you... I know some of you were offended because I just used a gun reference, so I'm sorry for those of you that were offended. You can use a golf reference, you know. Four! You can use a lumberjack. Timber! I mean, whatever you want to say, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Whatever makes you understand, I'm fine with that. But understand, all of us say that means me. Have been hurt. We've all been weary. We've all wanted to faint at times. But if ye faint not, ye shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run. You shall soar. Oh, God's word is so full of promises. But notice you're mounting up as wings, as eagles, you're soaring, and then you're running, and then you're just walking. Because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. To him that endureth, to him that overcometh, the word of, we will be tempted, we will be tried. But when I see the value of my brother, when I see the value of one another to getting together, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5, and Lot also which went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, and they might dwell together, for their substance was so great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto them, or unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thine, for we be brethren. I want you to hear something today. There are so many great blessings in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. We can't contain it in this building. We can't contain it in this building. The land wasn't able to bear it. But they said, we can't have this strife because we be brethren. Proverbs 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. It's the song of decrees of David. Behold how great and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even on Aaron's head, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descendeth upon the mount of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. I want you to understand it. This is such a powerful decree, a psalm. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Well, don't all jump at once. I'm going to come and pick one of you young men, right? You've been voluntold, one of you. All right, you've been voluntold. You know, in Pentecost, someone has a need. They have a prayer. We put a little oil on our finger. We put it on their head because the Bible says, you know, call for the elders of the church that they may anoint you. Unity doesn't cause a little drop of oil on the forehead. Don't worry, I'm not going to mess up your hair. I'm not going to mess up your clothes. They had a horn of oil. The lid's on, okay? I just want you to see it. They had a horn of oil. And they didn't just dump a little bit on his head. But they dumped it on his head till it ran down his head. Understand, your hair soaks up oil. It does. It's a whole other topic for another story. Ran down the hair. Ran down the beard. And he didn't just have a little beard. He had a long beard. And it kept running from the beard. Didn't soak it all up. Ran down his clothes. Didn't soak it up. All the way down to his feet. To the skirts of his garment. Thank you. I want you to understand, unity is not something that just touches you and goes away. But unity of brethren is something that anoints you, that covers your entire being. From your head to the tips of your feet. There is so much power in unity. There's so much power in unity. Doesn't matter what you've done to me. Doesn't matter if you've offended me, if I've offended you. I'm not telling you to overlook it. The Bible says you work it out. Pastor talked about how you resolve it. You know, you take one brother and you go and say, hey, this is something that offended me. Can we work through it? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe you were wrong. But let's talk it out. Let's work it out. If they won't hear you, then you call call pastor, call leadership and say, hey, we need to get this worked out. I called brother so-and-so, you know. I called Pat, you know, this is pastor's analogy, so I'm coming back to it. Called Pastor Jerry to go to me and Josh because me and Josh just weren't seeing eye to eye. But you know what? Things are good now. We're working together, right, brother Josh? And we never had anything between us. It was just a good analogy that pastor used in his message. But if it didn't work, well then you know what? I'm go to the next step. But consult the advice of your elders, of leadership. Hear the preaching of the word. Read the word. Don't just expect the windows of heaven to open and a miracle to fall from the sky. Although that can happen. The Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And there's so much strength. Empower when we can show ourselves friendly and work in unity. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, say that means me, till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Understand, disunity is a deception, because God's body is unified together. If you don't think it's important for your body not to work together, you just tell your foot to stop working when your brain tells it to. You just tell your hand to stop working. God forbid if you tell any of your organs or your lungs or your heart to stop working. They all have to work in unity. If they don't work together in unity, your body has problems. If we don't work together in unity, the body has problems. But God desires that we all work together in unity. Those that lie in wait to deceive by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Understand, disunified people are self-centered people. For those of you that are watching, I'm watching the clock too. I am closing. Worship team, if you can get ready to come. Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Why can I have perfect peace? Because my mind is stayed on Jesus. I trust in him. See, if you're looking at the news, and I probably shouldn't say it, but our woke society, our culture, our crazy agendas of political correctness, you're going to be unstable. Because the world doesn't know what they want. One minute they want this, then sometimes it's not even a week later, a day later they want this, and then we're over here, and we're over here. No, I don't want that, I want to go over here. Well, no, I don't like that. No, I don't like that either. Well, I don't know, maybe, yeah, this is good, yeah, this is good. No, I don't like that. That's why it's ever changing. That's why it's always moving. They're never satisfied because they're unstable. They're a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But when I can come together with someone, come on, young man, I'm going to call you both again. You've both been voluntold. When I can come together with someone in unity, now you try and go that way, and you go that way. And see, when I go this way, we're not in unity. Lot and Abram were not in unity. There was a strife. There was a hurt. But when they said, you know what? Hey, we're going to work together in unity, because that ought not be so. We be brethren. They could walk together. They could walk together. And you know, if I'm out here to pick up one load, I could probably pick it up, whatever it may be. But if I got two strong young men walking with me, I can do a lot more together than I can do alone. Thank you, young man. You know, I don't have the statistics in my note. But draft horses, and if I remember right, I think it was like 10,000 or 15,000 pounds. One draft horse can pull like 10,000 pounds, we'll go with that. And you can look it up. This is not perfect math. I did have it studied in a different set of notes, and I had it in there. I don't have it here today. But a draft horse could pull, say, 10,000 pounds. And if you put, or it was 8,000, that's what it was, I believe, 8,000 pounds. And if you put two draft horses together, you would think, do the math, if one can do 8,000, two can do 16,000. But it's not so. Two draft horses can do 24,000. It's not double, but it's triple. How much, church, can we do together? And I'm not saying to overlook your hurts or your pains, but when we can work together and let God heal those and work in unity. When we put down deep roots and let God move in our life. Understand, some trees put down roots as deep as they are tall. The redwood tree doesn't put down its roots deep. It only puts it around, you're talking 100, 200 foot tree. And it puts its roots down only 3 feet. Very shallow tree. But it sends roots out for miles. And if you've ever, I've had the privilege of going through the Sequoia Redwood National Forest out west. And there's trees there that have been dead for years. But they won't fall over, Pastor Seidel, because they're connected to one another. And see, I could go through a blow in the world that may want to knock me out of this race for the kingdom. But when I have someone together, they can help hold me up. When one weeps, we all weep. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Keep that up. I'm closing. You can stand, stay seated, whatever's more comfortable for you. This altar area is open, but I want you to think about this as we go in prayer this morning. I'm challenged by the book of Galatians, by the word of God, that if I see someone that's fallen, that's in a temptation, those that are spiritual, I need to restore them. Why? For myself. He didn't say for them. It said restore them for thyself, that you not be overtaken in the same fall. Oh, I wish someone would see that this morning through the lens of the scripture, through the power of the Spirit. We're so much stronger together. We have so much value in one another. And we got to stop letting the world divide us. It doesn't care what political background you come from. It doesn't care whether you be pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You know, we may not all see eye to eye. But can we agree on one thing? There's one Lord. His name is Jesus. I need to be baptized in my sins and filled with His Spirit and live an overcoming life. And together, we can get somewhere. Together, we can make a difference. Together, we can go from glory to glory. Because what I can't do alone, we can do together. Here's what I'm going to ask you. As the altar team, or as the praise team sings, as you come to the altar, I don't want anyone to come alone. Whether it be with your spouse or your family or your friends or just someone you don't even know in the pew next to you, come together. Come together. Or if you're not comfortable coming up here, that's fine. Sit in your seat, but find someone together. Let us pray together. I'm not asking you to unveil all your darkest secrets and deepest sins. Well, let's pray together. Because together, we're going to touch the throne of God. Together, we're going to see Dane County change. Together, Wisconsin is going to be renewed. Together, America is going to be restored. Together, our world is going to see a light. Together. God bless you. I love you. Let's find a place of praise.
I'm gonna see the victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see the victory, I'm gonna see the victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Likewise. Praise God. I'm going to get this right. Wherefore it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God, the body of Christ. Praise God. I'm so glad I have brothers and sisters who I can bring my needs to. I can bring my hurts and my wants and my needs, and know that they will support and pray and strengthen me in the hour I need it most. Praise God. The value of my brother. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Ben. Thank you for an encouraging word. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, Voces Unidas has Dia de los Niños this afternoon. Prayer meeting on Friday. All church prayer meeting. And Mother's Day next week, Sunday. God bless you in Jesus' name.
I know that song. You don't have to
and
say
she
it.
Was